for crimes he had done. He was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed when he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me."
Thank you. remain standing. I'm going to ask Brother Gene if he would to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, I sure do love you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for this awesome, beautiful day you've given us, Lord.
Yes.
I have to thank you, Lord, for the spirit that I've already felt here this morning.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Praise you for it, Lord. I pray for Brother Steve, Lord, that you would anoint him and he brings forth, Lord, and brings the bread of life with us this morning, Lord. If there be one here, Lord, who does not know you, the free part of sin, put your hedge of protection around each and every one of them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would protect them. Thank you again, Lord, for your love for all of us. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
here, I'm all stopped up, and a lot of people suffering with hay fever and throat problems and stuff. But boy, I like it when they sing like that. And thank you all for being here this morning. Tell us a holiday. And a lot of people are traveling or out today, and so we ask that you remember those that are not here, that God would be with them and God would bless them, unless they're at the beach. Pray for Ray. I'm kidding. It is good to be in God's house. It's good to be here with God's people. There's no place I'd rather be on a Sunday, July 4th or otherwise, than in the Lord's house. I don't have anything to back this up. This is not the King James Version. It's the King Steve Version. But I just believe the Lord's going to come back on Sunday. I just believe He's going to return on Sunday. And all those people that laid out of church and wasn't here are going to be going, they're going to go to heaven like this, as they sail through the air. But it's good to be with you guys today, and I know God's going to bless us this morning. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would come. This morning, do remember the events. Pick up a bulletin if you have not done so already. There's a lot of things going on that you'll want to be aware of. The ladies are not having their meeting this month. They'll pick it up next month. The deacons will be meeting on the 18th. It says at 3 o'clock, but I think they've changed that to right after the morning service. So just remember that, deacons. And then our conference will be at the end of the month. And we don't mention business meetings. People will lay out when you do. So. But you pray this morning. I'm thankful for your continued giving. The Chest of Joash is just doing great. You guys are giving to that. And all the proceeds, all the giving to that particular event of the Chest of Joash goes to our revival in October. Our family day on that Sunday, and then we go into revival that Sunday night. And we're excited about that. So we ask that you continue to give. That's over and above your tithes. This is the time when we receive our tithes. This morning, and where we give back to God what He's blessed us with, and He's done so much for us. Our missionary who spoke this morning talked about the church's support, and it's not just their ministry, but other ministries. We as a church try to give as much as possible to our missions and to support these that are going abroad, and I'm thankful for men that will still do that, and their wives, and going and ministering in those other countries. That's a commandment that God gave us, to go into all the world and to share the gospel and to spread the good news. And so thank you for that. I ask that you continue to give as God has richly blessed you. Pete, could you ask the Lord to bless our offering this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day. And Lord, thank you for what you've done in Sarasota, for what you've done. Lord, I pray for this offering. And Lord, I pray that they can bring
just my children and my wife. I thank the Lord.
can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died and gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. I won't forget brain out of there without her brain. And the search was on. They were looking for her everywhere. her seated behind the desk in Nancy Pelosi's office. The sad part is you could have inserted any number of politicians. It seems like none of them have a brain these days. If you would turn your Bible to Judges chapter number 1. Judges chapter number 1. One thing we know about the Bible is I heard Billy Graham say one time that he believed that God called the Bible a holy Bible because it lets you see the whole truth. God lets you see the good and the bad. We see the glories and we see the defeats. God lets us see His people in times of victory and in times of defeat. And I oftentimes like to preach on victory. If you know anything about me, I love to preach about worship and praise. And I like to preach about victory. But we also have to preach about the bad stuff too. You see, as good as there's a place called heaven, as sure as there's a place called heaven that we're going to someday, where those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior will have an eternal home, an eternal destination, where they'll never be departed anymore. They'll never have hurt anymore. They'll never shed a tear anymore. As sure as there's a place called heaven, there's a place called hell. For those people who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, there are two choices today. And we have to preach on both of those. Likewise, in the Bible, we have to preach on the good and the bad of God's people. If you would stand with your Bibles open in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word, we'll begin reading in Judges chapter number 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall come up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hands." Now turn over to chapter number 2 and verse 1. "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept." Now look over in verse 16. "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them." Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy that you've given each and every one of us. We're thankful, Lord, for what our hearts have already felt, Lord, and what our eyes have seen, Father, in the way that people have worshiped this morning. God, now as we come to this time of the service, I pray, Lord, that you would help me today to preach your word, God. I pray that you would put your words in my mouth, your thoughts in my mind, and your spirit in my heart, God. I pray, Lord, that nothing would take place in this service, for the remainder of this service, Lord, that you do not have your hand upon. And God, when all things are done, we'll thank you and praise you for us. In your name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. It does not take long in reading the book of Judges to discover that it is not a very pleasant book. Joshua was a book of victory. Judges is a book of defeat. In fact, it is one of the darkest books in the entire Bible. It describes a time in the life of Israel where they did not have a strong, godly leader. The book of Judges are best summed up in chapter number 17 and verse 6, where it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And when man is left to himself, it will not be long before he finds himself in certain trouble. And that was the case here with Israel as well. You see, God had brought them out of the furnace and had birthed them in the furnace of grace and had delivered them from the horrible slavery of Egypt. He had led them through the wilderness. was giving them blessing on top of blessing. They were no doubt his favorite people. They were God's chosen people. He led them. He fed them. He protected them. And eventually he led them into Canaan, a land which the Bible says was their promised land, a land which was flowing with milk and honey. All they had to do was enter into the land, destroy its inhabitants, and take up residence there. You see, God was good to them. Yes. He had given them himself. He gave them a Lord. God led Israel into Canaan. He gave them a land. But he also handed them his commandments. You see, he gave them a law to live by. But Israel denied the Lord, defiled the Lord, defiled the land, and defied the law. And as a result, God was forced to judge his people. But Israel's saga is not limited to just their experience. You can look at nation upon nation and country upon country which have taken this same path of leaving God behind and meeting their certain end. Today we stand on the eve of our nation's 245th anniversary as a free, sovereign country. And there is no doubt that America had an amazing beginning. If you go back through history, you'll see that our great nation was built with a hammer of the Word of God by men who held tightly their convictions and who held in their hands a strong grip of their faith in an almighty God. There is no disputing the fact that America was founded upon the principles by which God gave us to live. America is not a religious nation. It was not founded as a religious nation. It was founded as a Christian nation.
Amen.
Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is just the truth. There is no doubt that God had his hand upon the foundation upon this country. But like Israel of old, America has denied the Lord who formed us. We have defiled the land that he gave us. And we have defied the law that he established us upon. And as a result of that, America is no more a Christian nation. We are no longer one nation under God. We, like Israel, have turned our backs on God and walked away seeking after gods of our own design. We are a nation that has experienced the great blessings of God. But now we are a nation that will face God's judgment in the future. Today I want to take a few moments to look back at the ancient past. And I want us to watch Israel as they move away from the Lord and what happens to Israel and what is going to happen to America if we don't change our path today. A lot of people ask and I say, what does Israel have to do with America? Well, in these verses, I see a portrait of our nation as it stands today. And in this passage of Scripture, I get a glimpse of what God has in store for America in the days ahead. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we are facing a real crisis in our nation. We have religion, but we have no fear of God. We have civilization and culture, but they are built on the shifting sands of human philosophy and wisdom and not the firm foundation of the Word of God. I would like to preach for just a few moments this morning on this title, a coming national disaster. First, I want us to look this morning at a nation marked by a glorious conquest. When Israel entered into the land of Canaan, the sky was the limit for them. God had promised them the land, and all they had to do was to take it. They had to claim it by faith. Notice what they enjoyed in those early days. First off, they enjoyed God's providence. Look at verse 2. He says, I have delivered. You see, God was going before them, preparing the way for certain victory. There was no way that they could lose with God by their side. It is a picture of Romans 8:31 that says, if God be for us, who can be against us?
That's right.
But not only did they enjoy God's providence, they enjoyed God's protection. Look at verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah and drave out This shows us that God was actively involved in helping Israel conquer the land of Canaan. He not only prepared the way, but he also protected them in the way. But they also enjoyed God's power. In verse 4 it says, "And the Lord delivered." I think that's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. There are times when I take on a task and there is nothing in me that gives me the ability to complete that task. But when I do something for God, I always have found that God will deliver. I had a chance to eat lunch with Brother Henry this week, and we were talking about when I came to Cheatham Hill Baptist Church. And I've shared this a few times, and you know, when I came here, I came here as a youth pastor. I'd never sung in a choir. I had played the drums for many years, but I'd never been a singer. I have a lot of family members that can sing, and they have that talent, but I never did. But when someone asked me to do a task, and I agreed to do it, simply because he was such a good man. I'd like to be spiritual and say, well, I prayed about it, and God laid it on my heart, and you know, he just showed me, he helped me, and all that. That's not the case. The reason I agreed to do it was the man that asked me to was such a good man. How can I say no? Have you ever had a person like that that's just been so good to you in your life that when they ask you to do something, you just can't turn them down? Well, that's the way it was with this man. Well, it was easy to accept on a Sunday night. I had all week to think about it. I got up that Sunday morning and I was like a nervous wreck. I couldn't get it. I mean, my armpits were very wet. My mouth wasn't. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to move my hands. I watched church that morning to see how choir directors did. I didn't know what to do. I'll be honest with you. But what I have found is that God provided for me what to get through that day and every day since. If I made myself available to Him to do His work, God did something for me. He provided for me the ability to do it. See, when we have God's power in our life, operating in our life, we can do anything.
Yeah.
Did you ever think there'd be a time that you'd be a missionary somewhere? Some of you here today, did you ever think there was a time that God would use you in a vacation Bible school class and you shared God's word through the week and then on commencement night they gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ? You see, God will give us the power to accomplish anything that we put our mind to. It will stay with God. But Israel did it. Israel did it. You know, there's a lot of people today that are willing to do things that they don't have the ability to do. And they'll say things like this. Boy, if I could play that piano, I'd be there every Sunday. I'd play it every Sunday night, Wednesday. Boy, if I could play the piano. The problem is they can't play the piano. Man, if I could sing, I'd get up that choir and I'd sing all the time. They can't sing. But what they can do, they don't do. The things that God has given them the ability to do, they don't do. But Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And if we operate within the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the power, we have the ability to do anything that He calls us to do. Israel enjoyed God's power. But fourthly, they enjoyed God's promises. For hundreds of years, beginning with Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, God had been promising the nation of Israel a homeland. He is in the process of fulfilling that promise in these verses. Now, I don't want to spiritualize these verses today. I know that America is not Israel. But I believe in Psalm 33:12, where it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And I believe what God did for Israel in establishing them a homeland, I believe He did the same thing for America when it was founded. I want to share just a couple of quotes to back up that. I don't have time to develop that whole thing of how America was founded upon religious, upon Christian principles, not religious principles, but upon Christian principles. But I do want to share a couple of quotes. On March 23rd, 1775, in the Virginia Assembly, Patrick Henry lit the flames of the American Revolution when he said these words: "Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased with the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death." Now we know he said those words. We've been taught that in schools. But that is not the only thing that Patrick Henry said. He also made this statement:
He said, it cannot be emphasized too much or repeated too strongly that America was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not upon religions, but upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many would like us today to forget that part of our history. They would like to forget that this country was founded upon Christian principles. But there's a reason why it's called God Bless America. Another great American, George Washington, the father of our country, the first president. The Bible, the history will tell us that he took his oath of office with his hand upon the Bible, and then he leaned down and he kissed the pages of God's Word. His first official act was to take the entire Senate and the House of Representatives to church. Boy, how we need leaders like that today.
Amen.
The only time a politician comes to church these days is when they want to get reelected and they need your vote.
Yeah.
Most of the time when they get elected, they never see the house of God again. And that's where we fall into trouble. Yeah. We begin to chase after things that are the things of the world and not chase after things that are the things of God. And many a good man has gone to Washington and fell flat on their face because they left God.
That's right.
George Washington said these words after his inauguration. It would be peculiarly improper to omit in this first official act my fervent supplication to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect that his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States. And then notice these words that George Washington said. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. You see, America is not here by accident. She is the product of the sovereign providential will of an almighty God. She was founded upon His Word, and down through the years, God has blessed America. He has given us His promises. He has given us His provision as a country. And we have won wars that we should not have even been in. We have won wars that we should not have won simply because God put His hand upon our armies. America was a nation marked by a glorious conquest, just like Israel. But it was also a nation marked by gradual compromise. Judges chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. These verses tell us that the old generation that had seen God move in glory and power had died out. And a new generation came of age that forgot their heritage and denied the God that had made them what they were. You see, Israel began a slow, steady descent down the slope of compromise. When they entered the land, God had commanded them to utterly destroy all the people of Canaan, everything there. We find that in Numbers 33, 51 and 56. And in those verses, He said if they fail to drive out those nations, they themselves will become afflicted, and that God Himself will turn against them. This became the reality in Israel. It's exactly what took place. You see, they began to take up the ways of the Canaanites. God had said to utterly destroy them, completely destroy them, drive them out, but they didn't do it. And as a result of that, they became afflicted with them. You know, there are those today who teach us that the way to win the world is to be like the world. To dress like them, to talk like them, to drink like them, to get in their culture, to be just like them. But do you know that never works? It didn't work for Israel, and it doesn't work today. It'll happen the other way. You'll become infected with them. The Bible says to flee from all appearances of evil, and that's exactly what we should do today. We should not be taking up that. And people will come back with this, and they'll say, well, Jesus ate with sinners. You're exactly right. He hung out with them. He ate with them, but you know what He didn't do? He didn't sin with them.
That's right.
There's a difference. They began to be compromised by the Canaanites. That same trend is taking place here in America.
Yes.
We're already headed down that same slope. And as I said in Judges chapter 17, verse 6, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You see, there was no fixed standard of right and wrong. People just did as they pleased. Does that sound like where we are today in America? I mean, if you take a stand against anything that's wrong, that anything God's Word says is wrong, what are you labeled as? Intolerant. You're intolerant. You just got to accept people for how they are. You just have to accept things for how they are. You're intolerant. I believe we ought to accept everybody. I believe we ought to try to reach everybody. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe everybody, far and wide, should be saved, should hear the Word, should have an opportunity to be saved. But I don't believe we should compromise with that. I believe we should share the gospel with everybody. But the Bible says there are times that people just won't accept that. Right. And God said to just shake the dust off your feet. If you give them the Word and they won't accept it, do you realize that everybody's not going to heaven? Heaven's a narrow path. Narrow's the gate that leads to heaven, but broad is the path that leads to destruction. There's going to be more people in hell than there are in heaven. But we should share the gospel and try to reach those. But we should not compromise our standards. And we should not compromise the Word of God in order to do so. In 1960, a poll was taken that showed 65% of Americans believed that the Bible was the inerrant, inspired Word of God. But another poll that was taken in 2020, and by then only 24% of professing Christians of the population believed that the Bible was still the perfect Word of God. In other words, less than a quarter of Americans believe that there's a perfect standard for judging what is right and wrong. It's Judges 2:10 being lived out right before our eyes. Another poll taken in 2020 asked this simple question. Do you believe there are moral absolutes? Do you believe that there are some things that are just absolutely wrong and some things that are absolutely right? 82% of those answered that poll said that they did not believe in moral absolutes. That's scary. That is a frightening situation. Our children are being taught in school that there are no moral absolutes. There are no wrong answers. Nothing is right. Nothing is wrong. It means that abortion, murder, drug use, alcohol use, all these things are right if you want to do it. Whatever makes you feel good, just do it. Well, thank God we still have the church, right? A recent survey found that only 30% of professing Christians believed in moral absolutes. We're in a mess in America. We're in a complete mess in this country with no clear standard for right and wrong, where the door is wide open for people to do as they please, just as they did in the days of Israel. People are sliding into the days of compromise, and we're headed down a wrong slope. The Bible said in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's what we are. We have a bunch of messed up minds in our country. A bunch of people that don't know the difference between right or wrong. Our pulpits are filled with people that are trying to draw a crowd instead of trying to preach the gospel. They're more concerned with what the public says about them or the writer in the newspaper than they are what God says about them. That's why God made it easy for us as preachers and as pastors and as missionaries and teachers. He said, just share the Word. Our job is to plant. Some job is to water. But God gives the increase. It's not our job to seek the crowd. It's our job to seek the cloud. Just as Israel fell away, America is busy compromising with the Canaanites of our day. The Muslims are direct enemies, opposed to Christians. They believe all Christians should die. They believe you're a dog, that you're no better than that. And we are electing them to office in America. Who would have thought such a thing after 9/11? Who would have thought such a thing after the way our countries have been attacked and our soldiers have been killed abroad over there? Who would have thought that we would be bringing them in and putting them in office to make laws for us in America? What a messed up thing we live. We're favoring those Canaanites. We're putting them in power. It's leading to broken homes, shattered innocence, and a system that preys upon the poorest people in this country. It's a sad thing which we live. Friend, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
Yeah.
Proverbs 6:27 says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" You cannot play with fire and it not affect you. Things have a way of getting out of hand way quicker than you ever thought. Let me share this story with you. Larry Walters, some of you remember the story of Larry Walters, crazy Larry Walters, and his amazing blue ride. Born in 1949 in Los Angeles, California, Larry had originally wanted to be a pilot in the United States Air Force. But poor eyesight had prevented him from reaching his goal. Instead, he became a truck driver and was living a quiet life in San Pedro. I just want to stop right there and say, I'm scared that a truck driver had poor vision, just as scared as I am a pilot had poor vision. Say amen. But he became a truck driver and was living a quiet life in San Pedro when he saw his chance to achieve his lifelong dream of flying. With the help of his then girlfriend, he attached 45 helium-filled weather balloons to an aluminum lawn chair, which he christened Inspiration 1. Well, on July 2nd, 1982, he strapped on a parachute, packed up his lawn chair with sandwiches, a bottle of soda, a camera, a CB radio, and a pellet gun, and settled in for the ride. He intended to fly into the Mojave Desert. He thought those balloons would carry him about 30 feet in the air. He thought after a while that he would use his pellet gun to shoot some of the balloons and return safely back to Earth. But instead, he ended up flying much higher than he intended. He went up 16,000 feet in the sky, drifting into controlled airspace over the Los Angeles International Airport. Well, he became nervous, and he used his CB radio to call into air traffic control and warn them of his presence. He was spotted by at least two commercial pilots, who also alerted their traffic controllers, as well as the FAA. Well, Larry Walters became fearful that if he popped some of the balloons that from that height, that he would become unbalanced, and it would tip him out of his chair. He had forgotten to pack a seatbelt. But after flying in the air for 45 minutes, he eventually got up the courage to shoot one of the balloons. And he slowly descended, and after shooting a couple more balloons, after a total of 90 minutes in the air, he safely reached the ground. His balloons had become tangled in some power lines on the way down, causing a power outage in the area. When he finally came back to Earth, he was arrested and briefly held by the authorities and eventually slapped with a $4,000 fine. You see, he had intended to do one thing, but he ended up doing another and got completely out of hand. That's what's happening to us in America.
Yeah.
We have turned our backs on God. We have turned our backs on His Word. And as a result of that, we're doing our own thing, and things are starting to get out of hand in America. In Israel, it forced God's judgment. That's exactly what's going to happen to America if we don't repent for what we've done. America can expect no better treatment than what they got in Israel. Let's look at a few things here. Militarily, we're weak and we're stretched to our limits. We're vulnerable to military attack. All the while our military abroad, other countries grow stronger. Do you realize some of these crazy, radical countries have nuclear weapons now? And we've allowed that to happen? Economically, we're in serious trouble. We're in serious trouble. People are struggling all over the world. And the government is telling them, we'll fix your problems. The government has never been anything but a problem. If you're looking for the government to fix your problems, you're looking in the wrong place. Culturally, we're fighting a losing battle. The divorce rates have quadrupled in the past 30 years. Teen suicide has doubled and violent crime has risen over 500%. One out of every three children is born to a single mother. And in some cities, the illegitimacy rate is as high as 80%. Not over there, over here. In our country, in America, morally were completely bankrupt. Our country spends over $500 million a year teaching children how to use condoms. Our government is completely corrupt. Spiritually, we are in a horrible condition. The Bible and prayer have been taken out of schools. The Ten Commandments continue to be attacked. The Supreme Court has been no help whatsoever to the Christian cause. We're under attack in the natural realm as well. Look at all the storms and the hurricanes and the floods and everything that's coming. God is trying to get our attention, but we will not listen. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap."
Yeah.
We have sown to the wind, and now we are reaping the whirlwind. We're in a terrible, terrible plight. There was once a time when people called upon the Lord for their help. I remember back a day when, y'all remember when George Senior was in office. George Bush Senior was in office, and Iraq had invaded Kuwait. You remember those days? And people began to ask this question: is this the end? Will the Antichrist come out next? Is this the end? Is this the beginning of the end? Churches began to be full on Monday nights and Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights as people came to pray and seek God because they feared judgment was coming. Of course, we know judgment was not, that was just a warning from God. That was just a precursor of things to come. So now the same things are happening, and even worse in our country, and you can't get people to come to church.
Amen.
Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are trusting Him for their salvation, those that are trusting Him for their eternity, and they won't come to church on Sundays to worship. They find better things to do. They find other things to do. We're in a world of hurt. If revival don't break out in this country, we're in big trouble.
Amen.
You say, that's okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. That's great. I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad you're going to heaven. I am too, but what about your children? What about those nieces, those nephews, those grandbabies? What about those brothers, those sisters that have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, I think they're saved. The Bible says you'll know they're saved by the fruit that they bear. If they don't bear fruit, they're probably not saved.
Hey.
I say, oh, they're just away from the Lord. How do you do that? How do you get away from the Lord? I can bless out somebody that pulls out in front of me, and you know what happens? I feel guilty about it. God convicts me. I can't even fuss at a guy that can't drive. And God convicts me about it. You've been out of church for 25 years and the Lord don't condemn you for that? I just don't believe they've ever been saved. If you've been saved, you have a drawing to be in the house of God.
Amen.
To be close with God.
Yeah.
You can't just get out there and live like the world.
Amen.
He didn't let the children of Israel go. He brought judgment upon them. That's what He does to His children. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens.
Yeah.
I want to ask you something. I want to challenge you this morning to do a few things as we're about to close. I'm going to ask Greg and Andrew if they would to come to this. I wonder if there's some here this morning that feel a strong desire to pray for our nation. You feel a strong desire to pray for our country and the shape that it's in. I want to invite you to come this morning.
Yeah.
Maybe you have loved ones in your family that if the Lord were to come back today, they'd be left behind.
Hey.
Or if they were to die today, they'd die right there.
Yeah.
Maybe there's somebody in this service that's guilty of compromising their beliefs and accepting things that they shouldn't.
Amen.
I want to invite you to come this morning.
Yeah.
Jesus said, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. What that tells me is we don't even know how to pray. We don't even know the things to ask for. But God said, if you'll just come and ask for the things you know how to, I'll give you things you don't even comprehend. I'll do things for you you cannot do for yourself.
Yeah.
That's what God said. That's His promise. I'm going to pray. They're going to play a song. I'm going to have you stand to your feet. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, I mean, the minute your legs get straight, I want you to slip out of the aisles and come. I want you to come to the altars and find peace and find help in your time of need. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. But you've freely given each and every one of us. Lord, take this time, Father, to do business with your people, to speak to your children, to do a work in their life. And God will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in your name we ask these things. Amen. While we stand.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Power of God And if we'll take that upon our lives, we can do anything for Him. I'm looking for what God's going to do in the days ahead. It's going to be great things for our church. God's going to bless us in a mighty way here. I believe He's going to do wonderful things here. And I hope and pray that you'll be a part of it. Thank you so much for being here today. You stop that. You did? Okay. Charles, can you stop that recording?